Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. On today's episode, we have Maria Alvear joining in our conversation, centering around the nearness and presence of Yahweh. In previous conversations, we've talked about different ways we can draw near to God, and Maria provides another beautiful answer in how she best draws near to Him, which is through her writing and, more specifically, her poetry. Maria and I talk about her self-published poetry book, The Preservation of My Soul, and she shares her appreciation for the trials in her life that help her to draw close to God and remember her need for Him in all things. She even advises anyone who wants to be near to him to actually ask for a trial. There's so much in store, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. And make sure you stay tuned until the end of the episode to find out how you can purchase Maria's book. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Dressed in Splendor. Today I have a very special guest with me on the show today. Maria Alvear is here with us, and she is an artist in every sense of the word. She is a visual, performing, and literary artist. And I'm sure if you count thrifting as an art form, which I do, she's also an artist in that way. She's so thrifty, so trendy, in my opinion, and she also has just an amazing heart for the Lord, and we'll get to hear more about that today, but first we just want to welcome her to the show. Hey, Maria.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you so much for joining us, and first, let's just get to know each other. Tell us a little bit about yourself for our audience.
So I am a pastor's kid, and that's kind of just dictated how my life has gone in every way. I love ministry. I love evangelism. I've worked in ministry before, but now I'm a high school teacher, which is a ministry of its own. I teach Spanish and art, and it's just so, so fun. Like Lydia was saying, I am a writer. I've always loved writing ever since I was a little girl, and it's kind of just been my way to express myself. I was always shy to express how I was feeling, even to my own family, so writing things down was kind of like my secret way of just getting everything out, because I was just so ashamed, even as a little girl, of having big feelings, and so... Yeah, but it's great to be able to just get it out there and not be afraid to say what I needed to say.
Awesome. Well, we're going to dive into your poetry book a little bit later on, but I just want to, because we're talking about the nearness and presence of Yahweh, I wanted to ask you, especially you being a pastor's kid, I'm sure you've heard all of the terms of, you know, let's draw near to God and what his presence means and all that stuff, but so in your growing up, how did you learn about drawing near to Yahweh?
Yeah, so I think growing up, I really didn't understand the gospel. Nothing against what my parents taught me or anything. It's just, I guess I just didn't take it as my own. It wasn't until I was in college with the ministry called Crew that I really came to understand the gospel. And I guess growing up, I was more afraid of doing the wrong thing. And I kind of have this, as a kid, I had this image that when you go to heaven, you're all sitting in a theater and all your sins will be played on the screen for everyone to see. And that was terrifying.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I was like, yes, I'm a Christian. I accept Jesus, because that was terrifying. Not so much because of Jesus' love and his sacrifice on the cross. So in college, I finally understood that. And I think understanding who Jesus was and the sacrifice and his love, it was nothing that I could do, you know, for my own salvation. It was just him drawing, more so drawing near to me, you know. I mean, we are talking about drawing near to him, but I felt like he drew near to me first. It's kind of that thing where it's like, oh, I found God. I was like, no, you know, God found me. And so just understanding his love, and then not being ashamed of what I'm feeling, not being ashamed of my sin, instead just being like, God, you know, in repentance, coming to him and being like, hey, this is what I'm going through, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I did, and just, yeah, not being ashamed of that. So I think understanding that God draws close to us, to the brokenhearted, you know, to he wants us to humbly come to him. And so understanding that, I think it's made it easier to draw near to him, not so much come to him as a scared little child, you know, like, I did this and, you know, I really don't want to talk about it, instead of being vulnerable and open. And that way he has that chance to come in and say, I have redeemed you. And yeah, there's nothing you can do at this point to, for me to love you any less, you know. And so that's kind of what I've learned over the years, and just growing in that.
Well, and I think it's good to hear, at least for me, because I'm not a pastor's kid, but I have grown up in a Christian home, and I tend to think that those who grow up in Christian homes usually have the same kind of story, in terms of like, oh yeah, I accepted Jesus when I was 8, and then I, you know, I've just been a Christian since then, and yes, we go through trials, but, you know, sometimes there are those who, you know, PK, pastor kid or not, or whether you're growing up in a Christian home, regardless, like, there are just times where you may hear the gospel over and over and over again, and it's not until at the right time when the Lord wants to actually have that connect for you and make it more real. And I'm excited to talk more about that with you in a second, because your testimony is really amazing. But how? So what are some ways that you do draw near to him?
Yeah, so, I mean, like you mentioned before, I am a creative. So through my writing, through worship, I'm a big worshiper. I love worship music, and I think that's where I connect most. Sometimes it's hard to sit down and read the Bible, you know, read scripture. But when I play worship music, I just go into it and just, like, I just feel the presence of the Lord so deeply, that he is covering me. I take delight in just worshiping him, you know, with thankfulness. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I don't want to do it, you know. But it's, I think it's in those moments where it's like, I feel like the enemy is really trying to keep me from that. But there's so much blessing in pushing through it and doing that. And yeah, through poetry, I think, like I said, I've never been good with spoken words. And so even in school, like, answering questions, like, I really have to think through things, or going into a conversation, I don't ever want to say anything wrong. And so there's, with writing things in my journal, like, there was never that, like difficulty, you know. Mm-hmm. No one's reading this. No one's really going to say, oh, this is wrong, or judge me for what I'm writing, because it's, you know, my mm-hmm. journal, my mm-hmm. diary. And so having the freedom to just put everything down on paper, the only ones that are like reading this are myself, and the Lord knows how I'm feeling. And so it kind of just helps me just get it all out, you know. And so I even write prayers down, you know, like yeah. sometimes I don't say them out loud. I'm just like, God, I'm so thankful for this, or yeah. God, I need help with this. This is what's going on. It's almost as if I'm writing a letter to a friend, yeah. you know. And it's kind of neat to go back into my journals and look at the dates and see what happened and how things have changed. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, God really answered that prayer. Or he really helped me through that, a place in my life where I never thought I would get out of, mm-hmm. you know, in those moments. And now I look back and I'm like, some of the stuff I'm just like, ugh, I was really feeling that. I'm like, oh, gross. But other times I'm like, wow, God really brings redemption to those, to what was going on, to who I was and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I've written, you know, my prayers down as well, and I think that writing can be a really beautiful tool to actually slow your brain down, mm-hmm. And actually have you process your feelings, because I never know how I'm really feeling yeah. until once the month comes around, and you're like, oh, I'm crying over something, and it's actually a deeper meaning than what I had no idea I was grappling with some of those feelings, and then I come to those moments where I need to write that my thoughts down, and when I do that, I'm like, I'm slowing my brain, yeah. and I'm saying like, okay, let me just write nonsense until my actual heart mm-hmm. comes out, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
So,
and I think that's the key, where it's like you're just letting it all out, no shame, because then you can go back and like take that to scripture, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, this is not true. All these things that I'm currently feeling is not true. Like, what does scripture actually say about this? You yeah. know, I'm feeling unloved, like no one likes me. But what does scripture actually say? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, slowing down your brain, letting it all out, and then taking it to the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always tell people too, like, for those who are afraid to just pray in general, whether it's writing or out loud, it's like, you can scream at God.
Yeah.
He can take it. You know, like I've said this in another episode, it's like he doesn't deserve it, but he could take it. And mm-hmm. he would rather you to pour your heart out than to bottle that up. And it's, you know, as we were talking earlier before the podcast, it's like very therapeutic to just read back on that and to find how God has like sanctified us through this process mm-hmm. and everything. So
yeah, and he is gentle and lowly, you know.
Yeah,
like scripture says, like, he's not gonna come and attack, you mm-hmm. know, our feelings. He's like, oh, I understand. Mm-hmm. You come here, my child, like, we'll get through this, you know. And so yeah, so comforting.
Yeah, that's beautiful imagery too. So let's talk about your book.
Yeah,
it's called The Preserving of My Soul, and you guys, first of all, yeah, you need to buy this. I could share a lot about how this book is, and I will in a bit, in terms of how it actually helped me as I was rereading it yesterday. But in your own words, can you share what this book of poems is about and why you decided to write and even publish it?
Yeah, well, I guess I can start with why I decided to publish it. I think poetry is such a big part of my life. I have tons of poetry books, and they're not all necessarily from a Christian perspective, but they are very cathartic and have really helped me through things. And so if things that come from the secular world have somehow helped me out, you know, I feel like there has to be something as well that was like from a Christian perspective that will help others even more. And so it was hard. It was scary because, I mean, there's things in my book from like 2014, you know, way back, and from really hard things and sinful past. And so I was like, oh no, everyone's gonna like know my secrets. And but the gift of that is just like people are just like open to talk about things more, like, oh, like there's understanding between or among friends, you know. It's like, oh, I'm also going through this, or I actually never knew you went through this, which has happened with some of my friends. And so just the process of the book was in the chapters, it just kind of goes to like my sin and how I value man over what God really says about me or who I am to God. And so it kind of goes through that, I guess, an adventure, I would say, of just what life is and love and loss. And then at the end, it just ends with redemption and who we are in Christ, who just like words to remind me, you know, to remind others that you are loved, you are redeemed. When there's repentance and faith, like, you know, I don't know, God's just there. Through all of it. And it's like, I mean, I'm not done going through hard things. Right. I'm not done going through trials. And so sometimes it feels icky going back into like the sinful poetry or just things about my past that I'm just like, ugh. But then once I get to the redemption part, well, the last chapter is called Erlos, which means redeemed in German. And that just came to me because I was on a mission trip in Germany, and the word redeemed had become something very powerful in my life, just the relationships that the Lord redeems, those things the Lord redeems our past. And so it was just a big word. And so and at the time I was also trying to learn German. And so that's why it's called that. But yeah, it's just at the end, the redemption. And God just redeems all things. And I guess that's what I wanted to showcase in my book and just the layout of it. It's like, I've gone through all these things, the hardships, the loss, love, finding value in man instead of Christ. And so, but then the redemption comes in the morning.
Yeah.
And his mercies are new every morning.
Yes, yes. No, I told Maria before this, I said I might cry during this episode, and I was tearing up just because like, so you, when you were mentioning too about there's a lot of secular books out there, and sometimes, I mean, there's a lot of self-help books too, regardless of whatever genre of literary art form that you read, in the secular form, there's not usually, you know, there might be a happy ending, but there's not like the truth of how you can find redemption like you were talking about. And yesterday, as I was reading this book, I felt like my heart was like constricting more and more and more as I was reading your poems, and I was like fighting off tears at the coffee shop in public, and I'm like, oh, don't cry, because I even though I can't relate to you in the sense of your sin that you've gone through, or even being in relationships and having gone through heartbreak, I feel some of those feelings deeply, even in the sense of like rejection by man, feeling lonely, alone. And so as I'm reading, I feel like I'm like in your shoes almost, and also in my own shoes. And just as I was saying, like my heart was constricting, but then when I got to Erlust and reading that, my heart was like blooming, and I was like, and I honestly was like, I'm like, whoa, this is so weird. Like how that process of emotions actually went through and finding the truth through your poems of what it means to be redeemed in Christ. And, just in that beautiful art, it is really beautiful. And so like I said, I would highly recommend reading it. But yeah, I mean, not a lot of books can do that. I mean, the one book that's alive is the gospel in a can, but you're sharing the gospel through this and saying, like, and I think it's so important. I'm glad you published it. Like, it's so important for us to be open and honest about how we're feeling, because if we're not, like, our testimonies, they have so much power, and we have no idea how God can use our testimony for the goodness of others. You know, so so thank you, first of all, for writing it. Yeah, it's amazing. But I just want to talk about those vulnerable and painful moments that you depict a lot throughout your book, whether it's through loss of friends or loss of through heartbreak in a romantic sense and everything. How did this help you draw near to God, actually? Like, even in all the crap that you went through, to put it bluntly. And do you think that, like, you were able to find healing through the writing down of your poems?
Yeah, so I think, like I said, I'm such a relational person. I love friendships. I love people. And so I hold those so tightly. And I guess Can I bring up my favorite?
Yes, please.
Well, this one's called Tables, and it says, "Forgive me for continuing to sit at the tables you've already flipped and denying the ones you've beautifully set before me. Forgive me for trying to open the doors you already sealed shut, making my fingers bleed by forcing myself into places I no longer belong." So like I was saying, I hold relationships very tightly. And so not understanding when God is like, okay, this is done. Mm-hmm. You know, this has served its purpose and you need to move on. And so I'm like, no, like, if I lose these friendships, like, I lose myself. You know, if I lose this relationship, like, who am I going to be? And so, and then when I don't let go of these friendships, when he has called me to just let go, mm-hmm. they're just kind of gone. They're taken from me. Instead of me just loosely, like, giving them up, I'm like, okay, Lord, I have to surrender this because you've asked me to surrender mm-hmm. it. It's more painful when it's just like, okay, you haven't given it up. Yeah. Well, you know, they're gone. And so in those lonely places, I think it's like, ugh, all I have is the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, these relationships are no longer there, or they're just not really fulfilling or filling these places in my heart where it's like, I need relationship. I need to feel valued and through these relationships. And it's like, oh, I no longer have them. Where is my sense of value, you know? And I think that's where I draw close to the Lord. And it's funny because a lot of the people, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I feel closer to God when things are going great, you know, like I can worship him. I'm going to be thankful because things are awesome. I feel the closest to the Lord in those moments where I have nothing left, you know, when I'm crying in my room, when I feel lonely. And sometimes when things are going great in life, I kind of desire those moments, those trials, because I'm like, I want to feel close to the Lord. I want to, you know, draw near to him. And so it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know what it says about me.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I want to feel these trials to feel close to the Lord. And so I want everything to be stripped away from me so then I can draw near to him and nothing else is distracting me. And so that's kind of why I like that poem, because it's like, you have so many things ahead of me. The Lord has planned so many beautiful things ahead of me, but I am so stuck on this one thing that I think is the best for me, and it's not, you know, and I'm holding so tightly to it that my fingers are bleeding, you know, my heart is being torn up when I think it's what I want and need, but it's really deteriorating me, and the Lord has so much more. He set so many beautiful tables before me already that I'm kind of denying, you know. I'm denying the beautiful table because I see something that I think is, in my eyes, beautiful, but I just have no idea of what he has for me on the other side. And so, yeah, I think that kind of just sums up, like, what I find valuable, relationships, friendships, and how that could just become an idol. And I just put God on the back burner. But when those things are taken away, it's like, all I have is the Lord. And that's the only person I can draw near to.
Hey friends, we're going to take a quick break to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine. Stay tuned to listen to this ad because we have some exciting changes in regards to our pricing. Splendor Magazine is designed to share stories from our writers that aims to encourage women to know their true identity in Christ, empower them to use their gifts to glorify God, and equip them to make disciples in their fields, all without worry or strife. Each person, men and women alike, were called for a specific plan to be a part of God's will to further advance his kingdom, no matter what that calling looks like in your life. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling for you, or to help spur you on in that calling when you're facing trials. Our fall issue, which centers around the topic we're diving into of the nearness and presence of Yahweh, is still available for purchase. But here's the exciting part. Our prices have changed. You can now purchase our magazine for $12.99 instead of the usual $14.99 it used to be. Not only that, but we've changed the structure of our pricing system for those who are interested in purchasing an annual subscription. Instead of buying an annual subscription at about $51 a year, you'll be able to purchase a quarterly subscription for $12.99 every 3 months.
The best part, you can cancel your subscription anytime. And because you're listening to this ad, you can go to our shop and use special code DIS15, that's D-I-S-15, to get 15% off when you order our fall issue or our quarterly subscription. This code also applies to our pre-orders for our winter issue, Comfort and Joy, so don't wait. Go to splendermag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendermag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Maria.
Well, you were mentioning, that you knew in moments that the Lord didn't want you to sit at certain tables, right? Well, first of all, I feel like there are people who are going through the exact same thing that you went through, and knowing maybe they shouldn't be with a group of friends or in a certain situation or whatever, but they can't discern if the Lord really truly wants that for them. And it's they're warring between their flesh and their mm-hmm. soul. So how did you know that God was actually trying to pull you away from that? Was it afterwards when he pulled you away from it, or you knew beforehand?
I think it's a little bit of both. Mm. I don't really realize it till the end, or I don't see the good in it till the end. It's God's plan is the best. In the moment, I just struggle with it. I'm just I know. Yeah. I in deep down, I know that God is calling me to this, but I don't want to let it go. And that kind of happened when I was committing or thinking about committing to go overseas to do ministry. Where here, I wanted to do ministry with some of my best friends. Mm-hmm. It was my ideal situation was we're working in ministry together. We work great together. But then I felt the Lord was calling me overseas. And although I wanted that, I did not want to let go of my friendships. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny, though, because I knew that the Lord was calling me to that, or calling me to obey that, mm-hmm. even though it didn't end up happening. But so much blessing came from that.
Yeah.
But just struggling with I want to obey, but I also want to hold on to this because mm-hmm. it feels so good. And just bringing people into my life that, would pour wisdom into the situation. It's the Lord is calling you to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like? Mm-hmm. letting go of friendships. And they weren't bad friendships, They were Christian friendships, yeah. and we would build each other up, and we had a great community. But the Lord was pulling me away from that. And, I guess not physically pulling me away from it, because I didn't end
sure.
up going.
Yeah.
But just, you need to leave this behind and grow.
Yeah.
Because if you, I'm talking about college ministry.
Sure.
So, I'm older than a lot of the people I was friends with. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of just stuck in this college ministry situation, which I love. But also I needed to grow mm-hmm. into this adult who took her faith as her own. It wasn't just I'm relying on the ministry to fill me up,
yeah.
And so, yeah, sorry, I just ramble.
No, it's good. Because, you reminded me of, I think God really cares about if we will truly go after him, the one, go down the narrow path. Mm-hmm. And as he said, giving up certain friendships, even if it wasn't bad, the Lord sometimes even just tests us just mm-hmm. to see how much do you love me? How much will you follow me to the ends of the earth? And mm-hmm. I can relate to that in a, with one, conversation I had with him where I was doing missions overseas, and there was just this moment where I was just crying before the Lord, and for some reason I felt like I was called, which it hasn't happened yet. I don't know if it will or not, but to be a missionary in the 1040 window, mm-hmm. And just also kind of going through the thoughts of am I ever going to get married? Am I supposed to do this single? Am I ever going to have kids? And those questions came up, and I almost felt like the Lord was asking me, are you willing to give that up? Mm-hmm. And especially having my own child, at some point I know I'm going to adopt, mm-hmm. So, but he was saying, like, are you willing to give that up to have your own child to come after me and, like, run after me and spread the gospel? Mm-hmm. And I was, like, just breaking down in tears. I said, yes, you know, and maybe that's not what God has in store for me, but it's the willingness and mm-hmm. the sacrifice that we sometimes have to give as Christians. And for those who, I feel like those who, I would encourage everyone to do missions, because I feel like the Lord really opens up your heart in, like, sometimes the most painful ways and mm-hmm. figuring out, like, what we are holding on to. So I feel like we relate to that a little bit because God kind of tests us in that way. But yeah, I mean, regardless of that, God will put us through trials and situations where he wants us to say, like, are you going to serve me or the world? Or are you going to mm-hmm. serve your desires, mm-hmm. you know? Because like you said, it's not a bad desire for you to want to serve with your friends in the States because you're still sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. But God's plans for us are so different than whatever will come up. Like, I always have plans, and I've stopped making plans for my life now because mm-hmm. I'm like, I have no idea where I'm going to be the next day. So, I think it's good to know for our listeners' sake, at least, and knowing that, like, God will sometimes make it very clear when you need to stop sitting at a certain table, good or bad, mm-hmm. and regardless, anything we need to do is just to continue following after him. So, mm-hmm. So we've talked about Airlist before and how that's that whole section is about redemption. And I just want to, you know, you read your favorite and I'll read one of my favorites. Yeah. In the same section of that, it's called Seeing the Sunrise. And it says, I don't think that the valley is a worse place to be, because if I look around while in the depths of it, the mountains surround me. They are there protecting me, just myself and my Father. Being reminded that he will not stand next to me, but that he is already standing, and he doesn't promise to keep me out of this wilderness, but gives me the strength for today and the bright hope of tomorrow. Well, that totally reminded me of what you were saying, too, of, like, you kind of wish for those trials to come. But what I find most powerful about this book is that you have this whole section of beauty, and I don't think anyone really wants to say that they want to be in the valley quite like you do. And that struck me in reading this, because, you know, it is through those dark times when we realize, like, all we need is Christ to get us through any trials and situations. And so I would love if you could just share about that hope that you had and that you have even in the midst of your pain for our listeners. Like, how are you able to cling to the truth that God is your healer? I mean, you know, you came to know Christ, like, later on in life. And sometimes I think that's the most powerful time, and just mm-hmm. because you're like, you come to know him in such a tangible way. But, like, I mean, share that with us, how you have not strayed from him even through the midst of all this.
I think just, hope, I guess hope is the key word, right? and just reading through scripture, I think our souls just long for something mm-hmm. better. And so just having the truth in scripture and understanding the gospel is, you understand that this world is not the end. Mm-hmm. You know, living on this earth is not the end, that there are things to come mm-hmm. that are way better that we can ever imagine. And so, like you, I always dreamt and would say, like, all I want to do is get married.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still say that, but then it's like, even that, where I think that's the greatest thing I could ever have, I come to realize where it's like, I guess heaven is not the end goal. It's being with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be in heaven because Jesus is there mm-hmm. and we want to have communion with him. And so I think that's what keeps me going, and that's what gives me the hope mm-hmm. where it's like, this is not the end. And, you know, honestly, things could be worse. but just feeling him hold me and saying, there is more to come. There is this hope. This mm-hmm. is not the end. You may not get married, and that's kind of sad, but the end result is to be in community, in communion with Jesus. And so that's kind of like reminding myself that that's better than anything I could ever ask for. And so, yeah, I think just clinging to hope, I think hearing other people's testimonies as well just like stir up my heart. And so just the power of the gospel and what it can do. Sometimes growing up in a Christian environment, it's just like you see it play out, but it's not as striking as when you like have a taste of the world and come to know Jesus, you know. Or even growing up in a Christian home, going out in the world and living in a worldly way, and then coming to realize that that is not satisfying. You thought it's what you wanted, and really, the greatest thing is just being with Jesus. Yeah. And so I appreciate, even though it's been hard, I appreciate that the things that I've gone through, even in my disobedience walking away, I think my relationship with God wouldn't be maybe where it's at now if I hadn't gone through those things and realized, oh, I really need him. And so I think when you come to that realization, you just want more of him. And so I don't know, maybe if you're going through something or you feel like you need more of God, maybe ask him for a trial, you know. I know that's crazy to say, but it's like, God, I want to feel more of you, like, I don't know, like, show me who you are, or like give me a situation where I could fully depend on you. And then watch him, like, pour blessings, you know, and, or, I don't know, just show himself to you. And that, I think that endurance increases our hope, you know, endurance, and I will faithfully follow you, I will be obedient. And then, you know, just knowing what the end will be, just being in communion with Jesus, I think that fuels my hope, you know. So
you mentioned that you feel his tangible love for you when you're in the deepest moments. So I wanted to ask, because I know that I feel like every Christian, whether it's you're coming to know Jesus for the first time, or you have different other moments in your life where you know you're in the presence of God. So what, I'm sure you can name like many, but what's like one that has stuck out to you that you always can recall back in your time of being a believer, that you know, like, without a doubt that you were in his presence?
Well, I think it was, I mean, like going back to relationships, just when I was broken up with one time and I just felt like my world was crashing. And so, just the Lord showed me that me focusing on this breakup and my feelings was going to take away, I'm going to say the word fruit, because I had that imagery one time when I was just like crying and like, and I fell asleep and then I woke up and I just had like this image of just like this field like flourishing and there was a lot of fruit. And for some reason I was focusing on things that were not in this field that God had just like this fruit that I could pick, joyfully pick from, and like would nourish me and things like that. Instead, I was focused on this pain, you know. And so I think just being reminded, I think of that constantly, you know, where it's like I'm so focused on my broken heart that I am not focused on what God is going to bring into my life, what God's going to refresh me with. And so, or it's like I have this fruit and I'm so scared of someone taking it from me as well. You know, it's like hold it loosely, you know. And so, yeah, that's kind of how.
Yeah. Have you seen that picture that, you know, it's like one of those art things where it goes on Facebook and Instagram, and it's like this little girl is in front of Jesus and she is like holding on to this little teddy bear and she's like, but God, I want this. Yeah. And then behind Jesus' back, this is huge teddy mm-hmm. bear and everything. Yeah. It's like, it's almost like that's how mm-hmm. I love how you say like hold it loosely, just because if we can do that, I mean, you may be able to keep the fruit of whatever you have right now, but I believe that the Lord always has bigger, better fruit for us. And sometimes it's going through like letting go of something that you have currently or going through a trial before he gives you a better fruit. And I think that like you telling our listeners to ask for trial, oh my gosh, like that's it. It's really good. It's weird advice, but it's good advice, you know, because I feel like those trials help us in our sanctification process. Mm-hmm. It helps us to actually draw near to him more and learn more about him and his character, and for us to actually mature in him and become more like him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's at the end of those trials, I'm like, everyone says like those trials are not going to last forever. Like there is like joy in the morning. There is going to be better times. And so we know that there's like that constant up and down of like mountains and valleys and stuff. Yeah. So it's just, if we can constantly remember that the blessings after the trial are going to be good for mm-hmm. us, and even the trial itself is good for our eternal soul, mm-hmm. Then we can have a better grasp and a better perspective on the pain that we may be feeling right now or the trial that we're going through right now.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I called my book The Preserving of My Soul, because well, it comes from Hebrews 10:39, for we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but have faith and preserve our souls. So in those trials, we are not meant to just shrink back. It's like, okay, this is what I'm feeling. Yeah. I'm going to dwell in these feelings and I'm just going to let myself go. You know, it's like, no, don't shrink back into that. Like, have faith, you know, grow in that and preserve your soul until the coming of Christ. And so, yeah.
I was just picturing how like you were crying out to the Lord, you fell asleep, and then you woke up and God gave you this picture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually really a good thought process for us to think about is, as you were mentioning earlier, like God draws near to mm-hmm. us. And like we may be crying out to him, but it wasn't until after you woke up that God, like you were in his presence in that way and he gave you a picture and everything. And so I think for those of you who are like praying for the Lord to draw near to you or
well, can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I think God knows our hearts, right? And he is so gentle with us, because I feel like if we're dealing, I don't know, with a parent, a real life, you know, a parent, mm-hmm. where it's like you're crying to them and they just want to fix your problem. They're like, well, this is what you need to do. They give you advice that in the moment you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, you're just crying out. And it's like just pouring your heart out, and they come to you with like, well, this is what you should do. Mm-hmm. Or this is why, you know, this is going bad for mm-hmm. you because mm-hmm. you sinned or, mm-hmm. you know, you did this. And but instead, you know, what you were saying, where it's like I let it all out. And the moment when I was calm as I was waking up, he came to me mm-hmm. and said this, or showed me this, you know? And so it's kind of the timing. He knows the perfect timing. Where maybe in my tears and my crying out, I would have not paid attention to that, you know, because I was so engulfed in my emotions mm-hmm. and the crying and the pain. But once that settled, he came in mm-hmm. and gave me that image. And so he is a perfect and gentle father.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that goes really well with that next question I was going to ask you, too, of, like, when life is restless and overwhelming for you, like, what does finding moments of stillness before his presence look like to you? And so is there, I mean, you just gave a great example of that. Is there, like, other ways that that you are able to, like, kind of force yourself to be and to still before the Lord? Because, I mean, we see through Scripture it says be still mm-hmm. a lot. And so what are some ways that you do that?
I think I just need to go be alone. Mm-hmm. I figure I'm just like, and that's hard for me to say. I love being alone, but also I love being with people. And I am I try to run away from my hard feelings a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So if I'm anxious about something, I'm like, oh, I need to fill up my time with things so I don't think about these feelings and mm-hmm. I don't have to deal with them. So, but there comes a point where I'm like, it's just too much and I'm too restless. And so I just need to go sit in a coffee shop or at Grandview or something, in nature and just sit and not even, sometimes I don't even need to open my Bible. I just like sit and just like take it in. And I'm like, Lord, do what you need to do. And then, I mean, then go into scripture, but sometimes just sitting there, just trying to clear my mind, you know, it's like fill my life with truth. Really think about, are these things that I'm thinking, are these things that I'm feeling, are they true? Are they holy? You know, are they pure? And so just the stillness of it, you know, just being still. Because I feel like my life is so hectic that I'm always running from one thing to another. And so I don't have that time to really rest. And sometimes I just need to take a day off work and just be like, I need to just go, you know. Because, I mean, I'm with students every day. And if I'm not filling myself up with scripture and rest, like, I'm not going to be, you know, good to be able to pour into these students. And so, yeah, just pulling away from all the things that I feel like fill me up, which in reality sometimes drain me the most, and just being still and quiet. You know, as important as crying out to the Lord is, sometimes those quiet moments are, you know, even more important.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a culture where we're just going. I mean, I think we're probably the worst victims of that in terms of men and women alike and even children just being caught up in social media and trying to be famous through TikTok and doing all these reels and content and all that stuff. We're trying to find success in the busyness of our lives, and whether it's through work, career, or even our friendships. I mean, like, we tend to forget to have those quiet moments. And I love what you said. It's just, we do need to quiet our souls a lot, oftentimes first, because if you guys, I mean, I know that I'm guilty of this. It's like, if you go into scripture and you're just doing it as like I'm just marking this off, checking this off my list, then I feel like you could be missing out on the word is active and alive regardless, but you could be missing out on so much more fruit that you could receive if you're actually quieting your soul first. And then you say, Lord, like, reveal whatever it is you want to reveal to me through scripture and allow my heart to, and my mind to, like, stay focused, because that also is so difficult, you know, to stay focused in scripture, because the enemy really likes to, you know, if your phone's nearby and I have to, like, turn it over, because if there's notifications, I'll stop and always look over at that. Yeah. So, yeah. Our podcast is called Dress and Splendor, which is based off of Luke 12:27. And so, in light of our conversation, what is one piece of advice that you would like to give our listeners in knowing how they can be dressed in splendor like the wildflowers and trust in our Creator for our lives?
Yeah, I feel like the fields, you know, they don't worry. The wildflowers, they don't worry. The birds, they don't worry where their next meal is going to come from. They are just beautifully and wonderfully made, and they just, honestly, they live to worship the Creator. And, you know, as you go out to the fields, they're just swaying in the wind, and it's like such a beautiful example of how we should live. I think, where it's just like, we're just, I mean, I mentioned something like that in my book, where it's just like, I'm just going where the Lord's, you know, wind is taking me. Like, I need to move according to Him, you know. And so I think just living, being dressed in splendor, is just showing off really God's characteristics through our lives, whether that is just loving others and just being obedient. I think even in the nitty-gritty, it's just like we have to be able to be a light, you know, be dressed in splendor. And even when it's hard, I feel like there's so much loveliness that can come through our hard trials. Like, I read my books sometimes, and not to toot my own horn, but it's like, it's like, this is kind of this feeling of just like this redemption feels so lovely. And so like not even worrying about where a meal is going to come from, where what other people are thinking about us. Like if we are just moving with the Lord, I think that is wonderful. And just constantly thinking about that every day. I don't know if that fully answers the question.
I was just about to say amen. Like, preach it, girl. So, no, it, yeah, that's wonderful advice. And I cannot say enough good things about your book. And I've read it twice now. And the second time around really was so much more impactful than the first. And I highly recommend everyone to just buy it and to read this. And you know, Christmas is just around the corner. Get it for a friend. So, so Maria, how can people find you? How can they find your book?
Well, if you just look up The Preserving of My Soul on Amazon, right now it's just currently on Amazon. Yeah, you can just find it there. But also if you look me up on Instagram at Melvir, M-E-L-V-I-R 18, the link is also there, so it'll take you straight to it.
For those, if you need a visual of like what it looks like, it's a tannish book with green lettering, and it's got a picture of a wildflower on the front. So if that helps you find it, I'm not sure exactly where on Amazon it is and how many other books are called that, but like I said, highly recommend, and give her a follow, and I'll put all of that in the show notes for you guys to find. But Maria, thank you so much for joining the show. I think I'm going to have you on for another time for other conversations. So
thanks, Lydia, for having me. Yeah. It's awesome.
Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all. I really hope that this conversation blessed you in some way, shape, or form. Perhaps this helped you to find the beauty in being vulnerable with yourself, with others, and with God. And if that's the case, we are so thankful. With this series, I pray that this inspires you to run to God and not away from Him. And if there's anything we can learn from these conversations, it's that there are so many ways you can draw near to Him, not just one specific way to do so. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of His children can be shared with all in order for His glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress and Splendor podcast was produced by Jayel Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining us on our podcast. And lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.